It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. When you live with a serious mental illness, it's easy to become isolated from friends and family. This hour, we're going to find out about an organization that pushes back against the isolation. It's called Compeer, and it acts as a kind of friendship matchmaker between people who are living with mental illness or recovering from a serious injury and volunteers who want to be their friends. And I want to start the hour with Margalie Warner. She lives with schizophrenia, and she has made a number of powerful friendships through Compeer over the years. She is with me now. Hello, Margalie.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And I want to go back in time. How long have you been involved with Compeer?
I believe it was in 2002 that a good friend of mine had a program at the NAMI Johnson County meeting with a video clip, a movie about Compeer and how it matched volunteers with persons living with mental illness. And at that point, I had been out of the hospital since 1995, and I was living a fairly good life, but I knew it could be better, and I wanted to have the encouragement and the affection that would help me stay out of the hospital, help me continue to do well at my job as a secretary at university hospitals. And when June and others asked me to write letters of support for Compeer, I sat down at my computer and wrote the most powerful letter I could think of. And then I also went on a radio show. I think this was 2003. I was on KSUI. It wasn't this show, but and people called the station, and my friend Muriel said, "I want to be a volunteer. I want to be Margalie's volunteer."
Nice.
So we used to joke that we won the Compeer lottery.
Well, you mentioned NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And I want to talk about the friendships you formed through Compeer, but let's talk about what life was like for you before that as well. You mentioned you had been out of the hospital, but you had not only been dealing with schizophrenia, you had also moved across the country. You moved to Iowa from Washington, D.C.
My mental illness, I had depression as a teenager and college student. I had a very serious suicide attempt my freshman year that I survived and that my mother advocated for me so that I wasn't thrown out of college for the crime of being depressed. I graduated from Bethany College in Bethany, West Virginia in 1981. I returned to Washington, D.C., about a year after my graduation, I had a psychotic break. I heard voices telling me to jump into the Potomac River, and I obeyed them. I went to see a psychiatrist, but I refused medication. Then my life got more and more unmanageable, and my mother took me to our family doctor, who was sure I was on drugs, and I wasn't. It was just the illness. So I moved. I had a mentor in Washington, D.C., who had retired to Indiana, and I got on a Greyhound bus and went from Washington, D.C. to Pittsburgh to Ohio to Indiana to Iowa City, and then I moved out here in 1984. And my parents moved me out. They risked the chance that I could fail, and they had confidence that I would make friends. And boy, did I make friends.
Moving to a new city is a real challenge for anybody. It can be a very isolating experience, no matter what your life experience is, mm-hmm. to move to a brand new city. How did dealing with your mental illness make it more challenging for you?
I continued to hear some voices. Over the years, I had a variety of diagnoses and a variety of medicines. It took a long time to get the diagnosis of schizophrenia. Along the way, I had a lot of revolving door hospitalizations. And believe it or not, there are people that visited me in the hospital. And First Mennonite Church sent roses every hospitalization until I busted the flower budget. And of course, Compeer started in 2003. Muriel Hartz and I had a wonderful friendship. We would go to Prairie Lights bookstore together and persuade each other not to buy too many books. We went to gatherings of international students. We just did things that friends do. We met for coffee. She threw a surprise birthday party for me once at Thai Flavors Restaurant. I kept wondering why all these familiar people were in the parking lot.
And was she the first person you were paired with through
Compeer? She was my first Compeer. In 2007, her family moved out of state, and she moved with them. And later she moved to St. Louis, and last summer she celebrated her 100th birthday.
Wow.
And Board President Joe Bowers and I made the trip to St. Louis for her party. We went to 3 parties in 2 days, and she doesn't look 100.
When you first got involved with Compeer, you're making yourself kind of vulnerable, saying, hey, I would like to be matched with somebody to be my friend. You're saying, I need help making friends. How did you feel about taking that step?
I was confident because my therapist, Liz, had met with Muriel. I remember my nurse called me at work. I was at the copy machine, and she said, you're going to love Muriel. I think you'll be a real good fit. And I did a little dance at the Xerox machine.
Exciting. So do you remember the first time you did something together?
Yes, we met on University Hospitals. We split a monster cookie in the 8th floor kiosk. And we started meeting. With Compeer Friendships, they ask for 4 hours a month, but it's very flexible how the client and the friend, the match, it's flexible how they spend their time.
So you can do whatever?
Yes, you can. Things that friends do, but that isolated friends don't.
Give me an example of some of the things. I mean, you said you went to the bookstore and kept each other from buying
we
too many books.
We listened to readings at Prairie Lights. We shopped a lot at Crowded Closet, thrift store, and we talked about my pets. I've had 3 wonderful cats, 4 cats in my life, Humi, Taz, Chester, and Mildred Millicent the Magnificent. So a common theme with Compeer Friends is to share, talk about our pets and our love for our pets. People who have dogs walk their dogs together. And pets are wonderful friendships, too.
How were you, you told me about being on the radio, and she called and said she wanted to be your friend. But after that, you've had other friends. How many friends have you had through Compeer?
3.
3.
After Muriel left, my father died. He was in hospice care here for 6 months in 2007. He died the 1st of January 2008. And I was matched with Jackie in February of 2008. And she'd never known my father, but she was a wonderful listener to my stories about him. She loved his corny jokes. She was a craftsman artist, and so she would buy things at Crowded Closet and upcycle them into art. And then she and her husband moved in 2012. And so since 2012, I've been matched with Della McGrath. And Della has encouraged my public speaking. She was walk manager for the NAMI walk, and she had me speak at the kickoff luncheon and at the walk itself. Also, as a member of the pilot club, she's helped support Compeer.
So it sounds like your matches have been wonderful. Do you know what the process is? How Compeer decides who is going to be good for who?
Well, Deb works with our therapist. You do have to have a therapist, and you need to be in reasonable recovery. If you're in crisis, it might not be the time for a friendship. But matchmaker, make me a match. The more volunteers we have, the better chances we have of getting the right fit.
What do you think Compeer has done for you?
I think it's increased my confidence. It's kept me from having more symptoms than I do. When I do hear voices, I can just say Della wouldn't agree to that.
So it can really ground you.
Yes.
Do you feel like you would be in the place you are today without Compeer?
It's hard to tell. And the other friendship I've had is being on the Compeer board itself. The board members were a hardworking board, and we support one another. We start our meetings with good news, and I can always shoot them an email and Deb an email. So I don't think I would be as healthy as I am. Physically and mentally, I'm pretty healthy right now.
Do you recommend to people that you meet who also have struggled with mental illness, do you recommend that they try to get involved?
I do. And I try to pay it forward by being a good friend to my peers. But I just wish we had more volunteers. We just have to have them. I feel it's kind of unfair that I've had the wonderful friends I've had, but I treasure those friendships, and I want other people to have that same gift.
Well, we'll talk more about the program and volunteers for the program, how to get involved if you want to, in just a moment. We're going to take a short break. I've been talking with Margalee Warner, who has been involved in Compeer for many years, has had some wonderful friendships through the program. And I also want to mention that their annual Sound of Friendship concert is coming up on February 18th. It's at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Iowa City at 7:30, an opportunity to get together and celebrate friendship and also, of course, raise money for Compeer. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about an organization called Compeer. It's kind of a matchmaking service for people who are living with mental illness or recovering from a serious injury, matching them up with volunteers who want to be their friends, an opportunity to push back against the isolation that can come from living with a mental illness. And with me this hour, Margalee Werner. She lives with schizophrenia, and she's made a number of powerful friendships through Compeer over the years. And I want to bring a couple other people into the conversation now as well. Deb Moore is the program director for Compeer of Johnson County. Hello, Deb.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you for being here. And David Jepson is also here. He's a volunteer with Compeer and a board member. Hello, David.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for being here. And Deb, Margalee and I were just talking about the friendships that she's made. And why don't you walk us through the process? When somebody comes to you and they say they want to be a part of Compeer as a client, somebody who's living with mental illness, what's that process like?
So the way that process works is that the referral would come from their therapist. As Margalee said, each one of the requirements is that you be in an active therapy relationship, seeing someone at least once a month. So they would make a referral, and once I get that referral, I will do an interview that's about an hour to an hour and a half. And in that, we cover things like what are your expectations of the friendship, you know, what do you hope to get out of it. I get a pretty good sense of their personality. And then, of course, what kind of things are they interested in doing? And once I have that kind of grouping of information, it's fairly easy for me to make a pretty good match.
All right. And when a volunteer comes to you?
Interestingly, it's a very similar process, yes. They come in. They do an application. We do a background check, which we think is important. And then I do an interview with them as well. And Margalee sort of alluded to, we really need volunteers. Right now we have 15 matched friendships, but we have 15 people waiting for a friend.
I can see where becoming a volunteer can be possibly a nerve-wracking kind of situation where you want to make a commitment. You don't know who you're making the commitment to yet, and 4 hours a month is a significant commitment. So what do you say to people who are thinking about volunteering but are a little nervous about that kind of commitment?
I reassure them, again, as Margalee mentioned, that these people have been referred to the program and essentially assessed by the therapist as being ready to be social. And the other thing is we do training. We do about 3 hours of training. And then the other thing that's important to understand about CompEAR is we talk about this idea of supported friendship. And kind of the graphic I use is if the participant, the person needing the friend, is in the middle, then we have the therapist, myself, and their friend working together to make sure it's a good match, to follow through, to make sure if there are any problems, that we handle those right away, that the therapist is there to kind of process the friendship with the participant. So the idea that it's supported, I think, is really important to a lot of people. And then the training. And, of course, in the beginning of the friendship, I'm in contact with both parties, making sure it's a good fit.
How about setting boundaries? I mean, I think we've probably, many of us have had friends with boundary issues and, you know, friends that need more than you can give. How do you walk that line?
That's actually, I would say, about two-thirds of the training is ways to approach that conversation. And it really is important that those boundaries are in place. I actually might have you talk with David about that because he's had three friendships now, and he can maybe talk about his experience with setting boundaries.
Sure. Well, and David, let me ask you, as a volunteer, what brought you to CompEAR? What made you want to be a part of this organization?
Well, I was recently retired at the time, and so I had some holes in my schedule. And it just seemed like being a friend, sitting down with somebody periodically once a week, for example, that just fit my schedule and perhaps the kind of needs I had for friendships at the same time.
Tell me about your first match. When you decided you were going to be part of the organization, you got matched up.
I was matched up with a young man who was about the age of my daughters. And he lived in Kelowna, worked in Iowa City, and we met weekly oftentimes for lunch, but a wide variety of things. His therapist thought it was important for him to get out into the public. He was a very timid sort of fellow, but very lovable. It was just, we hit it off right from the start. So one of the things we did one time is my wife couldn't go to a Hawkeye basketball game, so I offered him the ticket, and he went with me to the game. He was so excited about going to the game, but it was the kind of social situation that created anxieties for him. So he fought through that just to enjoy the game, and it was just fabulous. And he and I met in Iowa City and Kelowna and various other places for lunch. And one day we were talking about our fondness for pork tenderloin sandwiches. And we said, well, where's the best pork tenderloin you've had? And we couldn't come up with an agreement on a place. So we started on a search for the best pork tenderloin sandwich in Johnson and Washington County. And we hit about 8 or 9 restaurants, and had it narrowed down to 2 or 3. And then about that time, his mother became ill in Seattle, and he had to leave Iowa and move to Seattle. So we still talk about pork tenderloin sandwiches on the telephone, long-distance telephone.
Nice. So you're still in contact with each other, even though that match ended. It's no longer part of CompEAR.
Right.
This is just your friendship carrying you forward.
Exactly. It was that kind of friendship.
Now, obviously, the organization is in contact with a therapist who recommends somebody for the program, but there's, of course, patient-client confidentiality.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
David, how much information do you have going into a friendship with someone about the kinds of issues they're struggling with?
My second match, Deb had made the match and did a marvelous job. She really is a matchmaker. Anyhow, I met with a therapist, and the therapist pulled out the DSM-4 or 5, I've forgotten which one it was, to tell me all. I didn't want to hear about that. What I wanted to know was, what should I be aware of that might crop up in the course of a conversation so that I can respond constructively to it and not judgmentally? And it turns out there was no worry whatsoever. And Deb had picked somebody for me who loves games. So we meet for 2 hours a week and play games. We also have a fondness of Civil War history, so it's a Civil War game that we play. Or this week we're going to play Scrabble. But we do it for a couple of hours. And one time he said, you know, you only owe me an hour, but we're having such a good time. And I walk away from that, Charity. I walk away from those meetings saying, I just had 2 hours of fun. And I believe he feels the same way. And so it's the kind of friendship you wouldn't make otherwise, but is enriching to both parties.
We're talking about Compeer this hour, which is an organization that acts as a matchmaker, a friendship matchmaker between people who are living with mental illness or recovering from a serious injury and volunteers who want to be their friends. With me, David Jepson is a volunteer. He's also a board member of Compeer. Margalee Warner is here, and she's been involved with the program for many years and made many powerful friendships through Compeer. Deb Moore is here, program director for Compeer of Johnson County, and you're welcome to join the conversation with your questions. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Deb, I'd love to get your take on the question of confidentiality. I mean, when somebody comes into the program, how much information does Compeer need about what they're going through, and how do you protect their confidentiality?
I think that's really an important consideration, and they do have to sign a release, obviously, to come and talk with me and to talk with the volunteer. But one of the things I wanted to mention is that what you need to keep in mind is that these people are not intimidating in any way. They're very much like everyone else. They just, for whatever reason, have become isolated. And I think a lot of people don't understand that with long-term mental illness can come an inability to continue working, which is a place we meet friends. Family and friends may not know how to deal with things. They pull away as well. And then last but not least, I've noticed that marriages often fail as a result of that as well. Those are things that we kind of look forward for in developing our own friendships. But in terms of the confidentiality, it's really a valid point. I make it very clear that, you know, my part of the process is the beginning, the matchmaking. And then once I've set that up, I share very little with the volunteer, sometimes not even their diagnosis, because it's really up to the two to build that trust and to share what they would like with one another.
The process, once you have made that match, you said that you check up on these friendships. Mm-hmm. What does that entail?
So the first couple, probably the first 3 months, I talk with each person at least once to see how things are going. And then following that, the only paperwork involved past that is a 5-minute survey that the volunteer fills in at the end of the month on our website. And on that website, I ask how many hours they spent together, what kind of activities they did, and if there are things I need to be aware of, because that's the other piece of the supported friendship. If the volunteer friend has concerns, I need to know that so I can communicate with the participant or the therapist if need be.
How long have you been involved with Compeer?
Actually, 3 years this month. Yep, very
and
close.
What brought you to the organization?
I had an interesting combination of skills for this job. I have a master's in English language and literature and a master's from UNI in mental health counseling. As I said, your mom was one of my instructors, so say hello to her
for
me. And I think I've done a lot of work in advertising. I've done a lot of work in writing and promoting things because I had taught in the past, so there's public speaking involved. And then, of course, the mental illness piece and the counseling position really helps me with working with the clients, participants, and so on.
And how long has Compeer been in Johnson County?
My understanding is it started in 2001. It took a while to get some funding and to get the matches going. So,
well, and we'll talk more about how the national organization works in a moment. Although Alicia emailed with a question that I think is a great one. Is this only in Johnson County? Now, this is a national organization, but in Iowa, is Johnson County the only place where Compeer is operating?
Yes, it's really very interesting. We are pretty much the only one in this area of the country. The closest one to us is Wichita, Kansas, or Lafayette, Indiana. So there's none in Chicago, which is very surprising. There are only 50 in the whole world. So we're very, very lucky to have this program here. I would love to see other places in Iowa start a Compeer program.
At the same time, you only have 15 volunteers. So, and maybe, David, you might know more about the history. Do you know what the height of volunteerism with Compeer has been? Is that down from recent years?
I really don't. excuse me. I really don't know the exact numbers, but I do feel we're down a bit from the peak, which may have been more in the 20s.
Okay.
But friendships come and go. People move. There are good reasons why friendships are dissolved, and this is a kind of commitment on the part of the volunteer that sometimes yield surprises. For example, I think a volunteer needs to have a certain relaxation of time demands so that if I show up at 2 o'clock and my friend isn't there until 2:30, that's life as far as I'm concerned. And we joke about it, but it's different than other friendships. If you just have to be ready for those kind of things. But to me, the investment of a little extra time, 30 minutes, so what? When you're retired, I guess you can do that. But that investment is well worth it in terms of the payoff when they arrive and we have a good time together.
Deb?
I want to come back to that because you'd asked about boundaries, and David sort of alluded to that. We do talk to, and the participants and the volunteers are both aware of this. They set their own boundaries. They talk about, okay, you can call me twice a week, so you're not calling every day. If you're going to be more than 15 minutes late, please text me or let me know. But part of that readiness for the friendship is that ability to communicate about times, places, and getting there. And really, that's the only criteria besides someone wanting, you know, the last two or three friendships that I've matched, the volunteers came to me and said, I've had really rewarding experiences where I was working one-on-one with someone. And in that way, Compeer is unlike any other volunteer activity. Mm-hmm. And we do ask, as Margalee said, 4 hours a month. We ask for a year commitment. David can say, I think his first one was 9 years. Margalee's on her third. So they can last quite a long time, but the commitment is a year, and after a year, things don't work out. You know, we talk about that. And it's not a difficult conversation. The participants understand that things happen in life, that this may not be a permanent friendship. So we're very clear about that up front.
David, I know that you are retired, which for a lot of people, that is a time of life when it's easy to become isolated. So from your perspective, do you feel like you're benefiting as much from Compeer as maybe your friends are?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. It's a learning experience. It expands the kinds of things that you pay attention to in life and in your friends and in others. But it's a good time to do something like that because of the flexibility of my schedule. You know, we can do things that that I wouldn't have been able to do when I was working full time, for sure.
And it gives you things to look forward to.
Oh, of course, yes, very good.
Deb, of the friendships you've matched, have you had friendships that really failed? That matches that just weren't good matches?
No. I can say that with confidence, yes. In that time, I had one friendship end because of a boundary issue. There was a miscommunication about when they were supposed to meet. It happened a couple times. the volunteer was not able to accommodate that. But otherwise, no, they've gone really well. I think it's because I do spend the time getting to know them and doing the training and developing a close relationship with both the volunteer and the participants.
We're going to take another short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about CompHear this hour and the Johnson County branch of CompHear. It's an organization that pairs volunteers with people who are living with mental illness. With me, Deb Moore, Program Director for CompHear of Johnson County, David Jepson, a volunteer and a board member with CompHear of Johnson County, and Margalee Warner, who's been involved with CompHear for many years. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about an organization that helps people who feel isolated by mental illness. It's called CompHear, and we're talking about CompHear of Johnson County, Iowa. It acts as kind of a matchmaker organization, creating friendships between people who are living with mental illness or recovering from a serious injury and volunteers who are willing to be their friends. And with me this hour, I have Deb Moore. She's Program Director for CompHear of Johnson County. David Jepson is a volunteer and board member with CompHear of Johnson County. Margalee Warner has also been involved with CompHear for many years, has made some very powerful friendships through the program. And Margalee, you've also been on the board of CompHear as well. And I do want to mention again that their fundraising concert is coming up, the Sound of Friendship concert, on Saturday, February 18th at 7:30 p.m. at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Iowa City. It is a dessert concert. And Margalee, I know you think that that's particularly apt in this case, right?
In the cookie of life, friends are the chocolate chips.
All right. So, very important part of the concert. You can join our conversation. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And I want to bring Johanna Ambrose into the conversation as well. She's the director of CompHear Incorporated. She's in Rochester, New York. Hello, Johanna.
Hello, Charity. How are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And we've been talking about how CompHear of Johnson County works, but give us an overview of how this organization works as a nationwide organization.
We're nationwide, and we're actually international. We have affiliates in Australia and Canada. So with that said, we are the oversight and licensing agency and offer best practice management, recruitment strategies, social media platforms to benefit all our affiliates. And we're in the process, we provide support to our affiliates, and there are over 40 in the United States. And they're all community-based and draw from their local communities.
How long has CompHear been around?
It's been around almost 45 years. It began in 1973 as a patient during psychiatric deinstitutionalization. It was founded by Bernice Bunny Skirbel, who actually, after a very serious accident, realized that the power of her friends and friendships pulled her through to recovery. And from there, she began the program. And it changed its name to CompHear about 2 years later.
We've been talking about the program in Johnson County, which is the only CompHear program in the state of Iowa. If somebody wants to start their own local program, how do they go about doing it?
Okay, well, one of the first things they can do is call our 800 number. It's toll-free, and that's a number that's good for anyone inquiring about starting a program, as well as affiliates or community folks. And they call, and they can ask for me, and we begin to walk through the steps. There are defined steps. That's first forming a committee of interested community members. That can be stakeholders, mental health consumers, businesses, government agencies, colleges, and universities in the area. And they get together and begin to have a conversation. And throughout the entire process, if they decide to go forward, They then form a more formal advisory committee and ultimately ends in a proposal. And throughout the entire process, our office is available to provide support, technical assistance, help with the proposal writing, help with fund seeking.
So you provide a lot of administrative support. At this point, and we were talking about Compeer in Johnson County really needs more volunteers, is having maybe a little bit of a difficult time growing. How about Compeer nationwide or around the world? Are you finding that your organizations are struggling to find volunteers?
It is. It's a fairly common problem among, especially, I'd say of late, but it's a pretty core problem, volunteer recruitment. And that's one of the things we've merged with another entity, and so we can provide more support for our affiliates. So it is a common problem, but we're on an uptick in terms of offerings for our affiliates in terms of both fundraising, volunteer recruitment strategies, and affiliate distance learning and webinar opportunities. So those are all on the calendar for 2017.
So you can offer a lot of support. And Deb, I want to ask you, again, this is a question about support. This is a question from a listener. She says, I have a mental illness. I've had mental illness touch my life several times in the last few years, and recently I lost a very close friend to suicide. What kind of support does the organization offer volunteers if a friend happens to have a crisis while you're involved with a relationship? Because, of course, I mean, mental illness does put people at risk for,
it absolutely
for these
does.
Kinds of crises.
Yes, yes. And we did have that happen about a year and a half ago. And in that case, the person's friend, the volunteer friend, happened to be a therapist. So she certainly needed support. But she and I met a couple of different times and talked through what had happened and where she was with the friendship at the end and those kinds of things. So, but it's really, really important for volunteers to understand that someone's decision to end their life is theirs. I never want anyone to take on that responsibility. And that's why it's really important for me to have such a close friendship with the volunteers so that I can offer my help and support. And I think anyone on our board would also be willing to do that as well. So,
David, in reaching out to other possible volunteers, what would you tell people? Because talking about that, the idea of having to deal with crises, friendships can be difficult in the best of times. Mm-hmm. What would you say to a volunteer who might feel nervous about getting involved?
Well, it's a tough one to say. I think I usually start by saying it's a special kind of volunteer work. Mm-hmm. It's very special, and it has the possibility of high rewards, and I use my own case as an illustration. But it can also have its severe downs, which is just what Deb has described. So they have to go into it knowing that these are possible outcomes, either way. I also had a close friend who was a friend in Compeer who had severe difficulties, and so I witnessed it firsthand. You have to have a certain kind of, I don't know, resilience to those difficult things and begin to see it as a part of life, like other diseases, mm-hmm. and to be able to treat it with a health providing attitude, and certainly not be judgmental and not be off putting about the symptoms or whatever comes up. But I always wind up emphasizing how rewarding it can be, how really deeply rewarding it can be.
And Margalee, I saw you nodding your head.
Yes,
and
yes.
Of course, I mean, you're coming at it from Another angle, although, again, you know, the vulnerability of reaching out and saying, I want a friend, I need a friend, is also taking a risk. But Deb mentioned the 3 hours of training. Have you felt like your friends that you've been matched with have been well prepared to understand what it's like to live with a mental illness?
Yeah, my compeer matches have all been people who freely gave of their time and their interest and their listened to my smart aleck remarks. And, you know, if you don't think there's mental illness in your family, you haven't been to a family reunion lately. I think there are so many people around us who have mental illness that you may not even be aware of. It can be an invisible disability.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a disability. People should stay in the community. People should work if they can. It's just a human need to have touch and conversation and emails. And it's just part of the fabric of life, is that you're going to know some people with mental illness and people who have compassion.
Deb, I wanted to add, too, that I'm very careful with the phraseology that I use. I don't want to talk about it being a struggle or that it takes a great deal of bravery. I talk about it and I say that they are living with mental illness, like living with diabetes. It's something that, as Margalee mentioned, much more common than we're aware of. And I completely agree with her. If you think you don't know anyone who's struggling with mental illness, it's, you know, when one in five people are taking an antidepressant in this country, there's definitely people out there. And I did want to add one more thing. Our volunteers do tend to have some connection, either through their own experiences, through their families, maybe as part of their work. We've had a variety of people, and that tends to be the three groups that our volunteers come from. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be.
I want to go to the phones. Wilhelmine is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Wilhelmine.
Hi, Wilhelmine.
Hello.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, I am a patron of Compere and have been for almost a year now and have not been matched up with a friend. And I would like to encourage the public to join in with this so that there could be more matches. I have a major depression, which I struggle with daily, and would certainly appreciate a friend.
Well, Wilhelmine, thank you so much for calling and being involved in the program and not yet being matched. What does that mean? What kind of interaction do you have with Compere if you haven't yet had a match?
Well, I just keep hoping that I'll be receiving a call someday and somebody saying, we have a match for you.
Well, I hope that happens for you soon. Wilhelmine, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye, Deb.
I was going to make one quick comment, and that is that we do host events through the year. We have four or five different events where people come, get to know one another. It's interesting that they're much more willing to come when they have a friend. But again, I've developed a relationship. I talk to each of them. A lot of them will be at the concert this week because they get a free ticket, obviously. And so we try to get them into those situations where we have a picnic or we go to the orchard. We have a Christmas holiday party. So there are opportunities to meet other people in the program.
So let me ask why, and maybe Margalee, you have some insight on this, because there are many support groups that are out there now for people who are living with mental illness so that they can spend time with other people who are living with mental illness. Why do you feel like it's important to also have this supportive community where you're paired up with somebody who is not experiencing the same struggle as you are?
Compere has a unique role in the mental illness community. We already have NAMI of Johnson County, and they do a wonderful job advocating for persons with mental illness, peer-to-peer classes, family to family. They do a wonderful job of that. Compeer is the only one that wants to do the simple little thing, match friends. Friendship is healing. I would say friendship is life-saving. And Compeer, it's smaller than NAMI, but just as important. And we're sister organizations.
These friendships, what do you think they've given you an opportunity to do? You've created some really wonderful relationships, but it also sounds like they've given you a kind of a freedom also to get out and do stuff you may not have done otherwise.
Exactly. I've been out of the hospital for 21 years now, and I've collected a literal collection of keys that I've named each key for something that brought me into wellness. They say that you should be persistent. It's the last key that opens the door. And Compeer has been one of those keys that kept me off the locked floors of the hospital. I don't ever want to be in the hospital if I can help it. If I did, I'd have a lot of people come to visit.
That's
and
pretty
I'd
beautiful.
And I'd appreciate it if they'd bring the keys.
Right, and some chocolate chip cookies also, right? But Deb, I'll let you have the final word. I mean, Margalie has given us a wonderful example, and David's given us some wonderful examples of what these friendships can do. From your perspective, what do you really feel Compeer can do that maybe another organization can't do right now?
I think that Margalie's absolutely right that there are helps for people to do grocery shopping or get to their doctor's appointment or Meals on Wheels, those kinds of things. Nothing else in our community is simply and truly about friendship. And it's really important for people to understand that they will do things that they would normally do with their friends. Another wonderful thing is we're in Iowa City. There's so many free and interesting things to do together. I have a pair of women, and we always match by gender, who go to a lot of the lectures that are held around here. Mm-hmm. And then the concerts in the summer on the Ped Mall. So just keep in mind that it's going to be like your other friendships, but the very few things that you might want to keep in mind.
And if someone is listening and they want to volunteer, or maybe they'd like to get on that list, that waiting mm-hmm. list, to be matched with somebody, how do they get in touch with you?
I would start at our website, which is www.compeerjohnsoncountyiowa.org. And that's kind of long. If you type in Compeer, Iowa City, you'll get there. There's both a referral form and a volunteer application.
All right. Well, Deb, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Sure.
Deb Moore is Program Director for Compeer of Johnson County. Johanna Ambrose, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Charity.
Johanna Ambrose is the director of Compeer Incorporated. She's in Rochester, New York. David Jepson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
David Jepson is a volunteer and a board member with Compeer of Johnson County. And Margalie Warner, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Charity.
And I also want to remind you that there is the Sounds of Friendship concert coming up on February 18th. This is Talk of Iowa.